Hockey Insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm very well. It was good to hear Mike Yeo talking about all the injuries. Now, they weren't going to let that be a problem. He is absolutely telling the truth. I was around their team at the start of the year, and the one thing that was really apparent, they were not going to make any excuses. Excuses were not going to be allowed around their team. And one of the things that really happened is a lot of young players got opportunities to elevate their minutes, and they learned how to be everyday NHL players, and it's really helped them a ton.
How good are they? Legit Stanley Cup contenders?
I think so. Now, I'm not making excuses here. They can't afford a rash of injuries, and we still don't know about Jake Allen, whether he can carry the ball or not to get him deep into the playoff. But I would say if they stay healthy and Jake can carry his end of the bargain off, then I think that they have a legitimate chance to be right up there with the elite in the West.
You just try and prove yourself right off the get-go, and that's what I've tried to do. And you know, got a good opportunity playing great players. So I've been with Schwartz pretty much the whole year, and a mix of Vladdy and other guys as well. So you just try and keep on building, getting better.
Braden Schenn centering Jaden Schwartz and Alex Steen.
That is one of the best lines in the league. Schwartz has had a phenomenal start to the year. Jaden's just such a dynamic player, even though he's not overly large. He makes such amazing decisions away from the puck to get himself free. And Tarasenko probably has one of the top five releases in the game today. And he can score from a lot of different places. He can beat you with strength. He can beat you with speed. He can beat you with hand skills. And he can beat you with the quickness and the velocity on his shot. So multi-dimensional weapon. Shen's been a huge story. That's one of those deals we talked about yesterday. If Philadelphia had a chance to have a mulligan, they would use a mulligan on that. That was a lopsided deal for Philly, obviously, for St. Louis and not for Philadelphia. But again, that's part of the hockey business, and Braden's really excited about playing there. I know that.
So with all these guys, Pierre, all these offensive guys, we haven't seen St. Louis yet in Montreal. What's the biggest change under Mike Yeo compared to what we saw with the Blues under Ken Hitchcock?
You watch Joel Edmondson, you watch Alex Pietrangelo, you watch Colton Parayko. Their defense is basically given, one of them, not both, but one of them is always given the green light to jump. And what they do as well as any team in the league, Mitch Gallo, is they utilize the offside defenseman on breakouts probably as well or better than anybody. So if you don't understand the concept I just proposed, I'll try to describe it quickly on the air. The puck's coming out your right-hand side of the ice. It goes from defense to right wing. The center will fly past the right wing. The left defense for St. Louis will jump up, and that right winger will pass it to him because a void's been created, because you have to respect the center coming through. And that's how they manufacture odd man rushes. And they do that as well or better than anybody in the National Hockey League. They really do. And they utilize their left defense, and they utilize their right defense. And that's really problematic if you don't know that.
So in today's NHL, where you know, you need just a plethora of good players. You need 9 good forwards at a minimum every night.
Yeah.
You're looking to get as much skill on the ice as possible, and let the positional thing work out with the coaches.
There is Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the Blues, in conversation with our friends across the street at RDS, Pierre. And one of the reasons the Braden Schenn trade is that he apparently, reportedly, is on the verge of signing an extension.
Well, he should. I mean, Braden's a tremendous player. He always has been. You know, he's a top 5 pick for the LA Kings way back when. Braden's a player that really understands how to play. And he can play wing and he can play center. But where he's of unbelievable value is on the power play. And if you look at last year, it was Ovechkin, Kucherov, and Schenn had the three most lead. They were the three guys tied for the lead for power play goals in the league. 17. So he's an amazingly important weapon. And he's a worker. Braden's a worker. And, you know, I've always gotten along with the family, known them for a long time. And that's the one thing I could tell you. He made himself into a star player, I think, just because his work habits are really good.
When we're lethargic moving the puck, we're not obviously as quick. I was able to come in here and see Columbus play and Arizona and see the Habs play a couple of times. And when they're playing at their best, they're playing a quick transition team with their forward. So I would say tonight has a chance to be a very quick game, but I think both teams want to be quick. They want to be quick within structure.
Okay, once again, Doug Armstrong. Biggest challenge for the Habs tonight?
Taking away those odd man rushes with the defense jumping up. That's going to be really important. I think, for Montreal. They cannot allow the odd man rush. They have to manage the size factor of St. Louis. St. Louis plays a very robust physical game. You have to handle that. And it's going to be hard to generate chances off the cycle against them, very hard, because of the size they have on the back end and how they play defensively. So it's going to be important. When Canadians have chances off the rush, you got to take them. You got to take your chances off the rush, because you're not going to get a lot of contained opportunities against St. Louis. Unless you have a bad game, then anything's possible. But if they're on their game, you're not going to get a lot of cycle chances against them.
For the Canadians, given the start that they had in the regular season, heck, even the preseason, does that make it less likely they'll have inflated egos now that they're on a bit of a winning streak?
I can't see them being inflated at all. They know that they're just barely hanging on to a playoff spot right now, so I don't see anything that gives them an opportunity to be inflated. Obviously, the last game was tremendous for them, and they have put themselves into a very enviable position. They're starting to create some separation from some of the lesser teams in the league, especially in their conference and in their division in particular. So that's important for them to keep building. We talk about it being traction in the standings. They have to continue to do that, Rod.
Oh, this is one of their most challenging games of the season tonight.
I would say. I mean, that's a rested St. Louis team. They're kind of losing a little bit because you've seen what's happened in the Western Conference. Some teams have really, Los Angeles being one of them, have really started to take off. And I think Nashville, obviously, has really started to take off. So they know St. Louis, after an amazing start, they've kind of chilled out just a little bit. So they know they got to get back on it.
Yeah, but they're in good shape overall.
Oh, they're no. I don't misconstrue what I just said. They're in very good shape. I consider them to be one of the top teams in the league.
First NHL shootout attempt from Matt Barzal. The righty shot, number 13 in white. Left to right, in alone on Reimer. Walks in deep, shoots and scores! Matt Barzal has given the Islanders the 1-0 lead in round three.
We talk about separation. One of the teams struggling, Florida, on home ice last night. The story there was Roberto Luongo again, who was really playing well, and he's taken off the ice. Underwent an MRI today. We're waiting on results. But that's a killer if they don't have Luongo.
Yeah, it's not good for James Reimer. I can tell you that. It's not good for the newly enhanced defensive zone coverage of the Florida Panthers. I think on paper their roster is really good, and I think Bobby Bugner has done some really good things coaching there. In terms of making their in-zone coverage a whole lot better. But when you look at it, Roberto's been fantastic. He hasn't been a little bit good. He's been really good. That was such an innocuous play. It's Ryan Pulock on the right point for the Islanders, just shooting a shot on goal, not a lot of traffic, if any at all. Luongo tracked the puck very easily. He kicked out his right pad, and all of a sudden he's like, he can't get up. That was really strange, really, really strange.
Are you surprised how much offense the Islanders are generating this season?
No. That was going to be their strength. The weakness was going to be, or potential weakness, were they going to be good enough in goal, and then were they going to be deep enough on defense, especially after having traded Travis Hamonic. They were counting on a guy like Ryan Pulock. They were counting on an older Dennis Seidenberg when healthy. They were obviously counting on Johnny Boychuk. They were counting on Nick Leddy. So there were guys who were counting on to step up, but they weren't sure. They were hoping. They weren't positive.
We'll get back.
Kind of working out their way right now. But the one thing I would tell you, Barzal is exhibit A of what I tell you all the time. Leave kids in junior so they develop properly. Barzal went back another year, played in the World Junior, and look what he's doing right now. He was ready to play in the league.
Right.
He wasn't halfway ready. He was really ready. And now you're seeing what you get.
We'll get back to the Habs and Blues tonight, and where Pierre is, Penguins and Rangers, NBC Sports tonight. But Nashville.
Smith turns around, a backhand clear, swatted down on the referee's circle, and now brought in by Fiala. Fiala with Smith. Fiala hesitates. He scores! Kevin Fiala cuts across from the left circle and backhands it away upstairs. Well, Brent Peterson, I knew, expressed interest in Frosties tonight. There you have it. 4-10 into the second.
Yeah, another Frosty. Nashville wins at 5-3. They jumped out to a 4-0 lead over the Bruins. Khudobin went out. And the interesting stat that they tweeted out, their PR team tweeted out after the game, Pierre, which you know, since acquiring Kyle Turris on November the 5th, that line, Fiala, Craig Smith, who scored two goals last night, and Turris, 32 points in 12 games, and they've won 9 and lost 2.
Well, we're not surprised. We talked about it when the trade happened. Kyle's really a great three-zone player. Fiala had a horrific leg fracture last year in a playoff series against St. Louis. I was there to do the game. It was just horrific. And Craig Smith has always been a depth scorer, even going back to when he played at the University of Wisconsin. But what he's established now, Smith, is he's starting to utilize his speed and understand how to manufacture chances by utilizing his speed. I don't think he grasped that before, but the trip to the final last year made him a ton better. I know they're really excited about him, but what you have now is slotting. Now, Ryan Johansson didn't play last night, but the proper slotting, when you look at it, Johansson 1, Turris 2, Bonino 3, and he scored last night, and then Colton Sissons 4. That's as deep a center ice position as there is in the league.
With the Matt Molson news the last couple of days, Pierre, and in fact today he cleared. He's down to the AHL, the team in Ontario, the Ontario Reign. When you miss on a player like that, on a contract like that, does an owner ever become more likely or more reluctant to sign off on a big contract?
Okay, let's be fair here. That contract was not signed by the current management team. That was not done by Jason Bottrell, and that wasn't done by Randy Sexton. That was done by the previous administration. A lot of people wondered about that deal when it was done because Matt's speed quotient wasn't getting any higher. What I really respect, and this is important, Matt Molson not going to Rochester, where their farm team is, Matt Molson going to the Ontario Reign in the American Hockey League because his brother-in-law plays there. He's married to Jonathan Quick and he are married to Mike Backman's daughters. So there's a sense of family out there. That's really good managing. That's the part of the story that's not going to be told. That Buffalo Sabres team acknowledged that here's a guy that's older in his career, is going to make a ton of money, going to be tough for his wife. Let's show how we're going to do business here properly, and they have. I really respect. They didn't want to embarrass Matt Molson. I really respect what Jason Bottrell and Randy Sexton did with the player.
What do you think's next is out of Buffalo?
Well, I hate to talk about names, but the name that's out there all over the place, and I'm in Pittsburgh right now, is Evander Kane. Evander Kane's name is everywhere. Doesn't mean they're trading him, but I'm just telling you, his name's the name that's out there.
Well, the situation that they're in and unrestricted, so what do they do? They just sit back and wait to the trade deadline and sift through the best offers and then take it, or what?
No, I think they try to create marketplace. And with the parity that's going on right now in the Eastern Conference, and you and I talked about this, I think, a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you agree with me or not, so if you don't agree with me, please tell me. But the Metro Division, I believe, Mitch, is getting five teams in. Do you agree with that?
I think the Canadiens, where they are right now, that's the spot that, unless something really unforeseen happens, that's the spot that's available.
Okay, so you think that three teams are coming in from the Atlantic and five from the Metro, like I do. So we agree.
Yeah.
So that, look at tonight's game. I'm doing the Rangers in Pittsburgh. If you don't have the standings in front of you, Rod or Mitch have them in front of them. They'll tell you, this is a game seven tonight, even though there's so much room left to go. But this can create huge separation for Pittsburgh, who's played two more games than the Rangers. If they lose it, the Rangers are back in there, and they still have those two games. So if you follow me, that's what's happening. So teams are looking at some of these players that are available, and they're saying, we want to jump in first if we think that guy can make a difference for us, especially if you're Pittsburgh, a team like Pittsburgh that's got a lot of young players. And who knows their roster better than the Pittsburgh Penguins? The Buffalo Sabres management team, because a lot of them worked here in Pittsburgh for the two cups.
Gotcha. All right, we mentioned Claude Julien met with members of the media around 5 o'clock.
Well, I think it goes with the team right now. You know, we're heading, you know, in the right direction. I think the confidence level is there. I think, you know, we're just executing better. And, you know, that's normally what happens when things go a little bit better. Everybody, I guess, benefits from it. And right now, I mean, we've moved guys around, and it's still scoring some goals. So hopefully that can keep going as well.
Well, something that Pierre has stressed since day one, and that's the improved power play of late. We'll see if they can keep it going and continue to climb the ladder and at least get up around 20%. 5 for their last 13, I think it is, on the power play.
Yeah. Tonight, the biggest thing, and you'll see it, because Stastny, Steen, and Berglund. Is Berglund playing tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Those three guys usually are on the ice. Two of those three are usually on the ice for faceoff plays to start penalty kills. If the Canadians lose faceoffs tonight, especially the first one, they're not going to win the power play battle. I'll tell you that right now. St. Louis is as good as any team I've seen in the league, winning the initial draw when they're shorthanded and getting the puck up and out of the zone. It's a huge factor when you play them. I talked about the offensive part of it. The defensive part of St. Louis that makes them tough is they are so good with set plays off in-zone faceoffs to start power plays for the opposition.
Pierre, Jonathan Drouin, once again out of the lineup for the Canadiens. In fact, it's a virus keeping him out. They're hoping he could play Thursday. He was supposed to skate this morning, but did not. Drouin is such a key part of that power play because he handles the puck so much. With him out, who would you want to be the one to distribute?
Galchenyuk. But I want Weber on the ice, too. But Galchenyuk, I think, is really the guy. And, you know, I love what Coach Julien said about the confidence factor and the execution. When you have the confidence, you usually execute because you want the puck a little bit more. And for Alex, sure looks like he's more and more comfortable with the puck. And that's what he's about. Mitch Melnick, how long have I been talking about this? That guy's got to have the puck on his stick. That's what makes him such a good player.
Well,
if he doesn't have the puck, he's not good.
He's a combination of a playmaker and a shooter. And I don't care. I know. I don't expect him to be a candidate for the has become the Patrice Bergeron Trophy lately. I don't expect that. I expect some weak spots in his game. But when you're so good at the other end of the ice in those two areas, some guys are great playmakers and not going to score. Other guys can score, but they can't make plays, like Max Pacioretty, for example. Galchenyuk can do both.
Yeah. Do you really think that the Columbus Blue, or sorry, do you really think the Nashville Predators are ticked off that Ryan Johansson really is not a good checker? Do you really think so? I don't think so. Do you think the New York Rangers, when he's healthy, are mad that Mika Zibanejad is not a great defensive player? I don't think so. you got to get guys who can score. There's enough guys that can check. My friend, and I love him to death, Michel Bergeron, love the guy to death. Did the best line ever. I remember we were on a plane coming back from a West Coast trip when I was starting out with Montreal. And he said, everybody talks about the players and what they can do without the puck. I can find you a million of those guys. Get me guys that can do something with the puck. He was right on the mark. Couldn't have been more correct.
Well, a couple of things. I think we've done a better job of protecting the house, you know, and the net front. And a lot of times when Carey makes a save, we're much better at clearing the puck. You know, I think the fact also that we're coming out of our own end better than we had at the beginning of the year means we're spending less time in our own end, so there's less turnovers, less mistakes. I think those kind of things really helped our goals against. But there's been a commitment, you know, to even on the other team's rushes, our back check, we're sorting things out better, and that's helping out a lot as well.
Claude Julien on the 5-game winning streak. Again, what would you expect once the puck drops in 2 hours?
Probably an aggressive St. Louis team. They're going to want to challenge the Canadiens' defense. I mean, when it comes to the tail of the tape on paper, St. Louis is a bigger team. So I would imagine they're going to try to challenge them. And I don't mean by fighting or being. They're a physical team, but they're not a dirty team. St. Louis is not a dirty team at all. They're a really good playoff-style kind of team. So I'd expect you're going to see them trying to create off forecheck, off cycle. And I think the biggest thing, and we talked about it right from the start, you got to do a good job making sure that they don't jump that extra defenseman in and create odd man rushes. You got to be really, really smart on that.
Pierre, again, they've got all but one of their injured guys back now, mm-hmm. So they have some depth. Is St. Louis a team to watch in terms of between now and the trade deadline?
Yeah, they don't have a need on defense. You know, I don't know if Gunnarsson's playing tonight or not, but
yep.
For more teams than not, Carl Gunnarsson can be a number four guy on defense. So he's missed some games since they got Bouwmeester back, but he's a really good player. I can't see them having an organizational need on defense. And Vince Dunn, if you haven't seen him play, is a really good young player. If he's playing tonight, he's a really, really dynamic young offensive player. So their need will be up front. Not having Robbie Fabry really sets him back, Mitch. I thought Robbie was about to really jump through the gym this year. I thought he was going to have a huge year. He and Tarasenko had really good magic on the ice together. So if there's any need, I would say it's probably at the winger position there, and it would be at the scoring winger position, not at the checking winger position.
Yeah. Kind of scary when a guy like Tarasenko has put up zero after zero after zero for 5 or 6 games, huh?
Yeah, well, that's not going to last for long. You'll see.
That's what I mean, yeah. All right. Thanks as always, Pierre. Enjoy Pittsburgh tonight.
I'm leaving right after the game for Washington, D.C. I'm going to try to help them with their tax reform.
I know, and you're already thinking about how great the Olympics are going to be without any Russians around, right?
Why would you like want to ruin such a great 30 minutes of radio by
you. Well, it's just well, since you went, you kind of went there, you know, a little bit. Do you want to?
What did I say that was Olympic oriented?
Well, it was political.
Oh, well.
Well, that's political.
I guess.
Yeah, and for those who haven't heard, the IOC has kicked Russia out of the Olympics, but the athletes can compete for the IOC flag. Basically.
You really think that they're going to? Let me ask.
Shocked
you.
If they will.
Do you really think that the KHL is going to close down now and go to the Olympics? Do you really believe that? That Mr. Putin's going to allow that to happen? I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, we're actually going to play league games like the NHL. We're on par with the NHL. That's going to be his stance. They're not. I'd be shocked if they sent the team not wearing a Russian flag. Yeah. No way.
How do you think Andrei Markov feels today?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I can tell. A lot of the Russian guys are ticked off. I can't wait to talk to Malkin. I saw him this morning. I can't wait to talk to Malkin after the game here quickly.
Yes.
And to see Ovechkin tomorrow and see Kuznetsov. Those guys are going to be, even though they weren't going, those guys are going to be ticked off. Because I really think this would be the first time that the Russians at the Olympics anyways would have a legitimate chance to win.
So underneath his Penguins jersey, does Malkin have like one of those Team Putin t-shirts?
He's buddies with Mr. Putin. I know well, that. You know, Ovechkin are tight with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't go down those roads. I don't think you should either.
All right. Maybe some more intrigue tomorrow from Washington, D.C.
Yes, there will be.
All right. Thanks as always.
Yep. Bye.
You know, I alluded to Columbus at the beginning of last week. We had a real good test against them, and, you know, tonight's the same thing. It's a big team that plays a heavy game, very similar style, actually, as ours. You know, they're bigger size, and, you know, they're off to a great start, and I think tonight's going to be about, you know, the team that's going to, I guess, win those puck battles and play the best of the two as far as system is concerned and minimize the mistakes. And it's a good test for us, and I think the guys are excited and looking forward to it.
I think Claude Julien might have had a Boston flashback there.